Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Squim Community Church. It's wonderful to have you with us in person as well as on our live stream this morning. Today, as we are beginning to anticipate Easter, we're going to introduce a new song to you. And this song is called King Jesus. And I just love it. The chorus says, it's all about giving glory to the King who has risen and who has redeemed us. So let's prepare our hearts and sing this together.
What have I to fear? And I will not deny Him the glory that is His. Heaven will prevail, and struggles will be moved. Spirits will be silenced, and power at His rule. I know my God is for me. So what have I to glory that is in. One word from You and things change on Your authority. Your word, it's true, and things change. Mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Well,
Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you are a God who is with us through all things. And we can say that with confidence. It is well. Whatever we're walking through, whatever season of life we're in, you are the God who walks with us. And we just thank you so much for that this morning. Lord God, as we come into this time together, we just thank you that we can gather. We thank you for your presence here with us this morning. You're a God of invitation, and we're grateful for that. You invite us to meet with you. You invite us to come to know you deeper. And I just pray that as we listen to what Rick has to say this morning, that you would open our hearts, open our minds to hear from you. Lord, we remember those in our church who are sick or who are going through a difficult time right now. Father, would you be with them? Would you comfort them? Bring them peace. Bring them healing. And Lord, we just acknowledge that we need you today. We love you, Jesus, and we ask that you would fill us with your presence this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Hey, glad to see everyone here live as well as on live stream. My name is Rick Dietzman. I'm the associate pastor here at Squim Community Church. And I'm going to start us off with a few announcements about things that are going on. If you were here on Friday or Saturday, this room was completely different. It was like a bazaar. It was in a fundraiser for the youth mission trip that's going to be happening over spring break. And Keith wanted to let you know that they raised $12,000. So great help to what they're going to be doing. They are going to be working around the community. First, they're going to be doing some projects around the church, some painting, helping in the community, and then going down to Black Lake Bible Camp to help with their reopening as well. And there is still one event left that is going on today. It is our virtual auction. That's going to be happening until 8 o'clock tonight. Now, if you've not seen this, you're going to be amazed. A couple weeks ago on the staff, we were talking about how we're going to do the auction this year, given all the COVID, and the bright idea was let's do a virtual auction, and it fell to Kathy Clark, our digital media specialist, to come up with the eBay website. So if you've not been there, it's great. You can go, you can bid. If you get outbid, they'll send you an email. She's done a fantastic job of putting that together, so I encourage you to check that out today before 8 and bid on some items. Also, after 30 years, we are doing some upgrades over in the other building in the sanctuary. It's called Refreshing God's House. It's a $180,000 project. We're going to be doing the carpeting, the bathrooms, the kitchen, and I want to encourage you to consider giving to that. It's been a blessing to have that building for all these years, and it's a great time to be doing some upgrades to it. The other thing that's happening is, our county is moving into phase 3, and we're trying to figure out how to adjust to that and continue to add things that we're doing. I want to let you know, next Sunday, we're going to be starting live stream at the 10 o'clock service, which is fantastic for those who have, of course, been enjoying this service but want to see the other kinds of music that we offer at the church online. And Scott will be starting a new series called Getting to Know the Real Jesus. So I encourage you, if you want to check that out, it'll be on a different YouTube channel, and we'll let you know on the Friday email and on the website how to link to that. The other things going on, and not everybody knows this, but we have been pretty open for a long time at the church. We have full youth and children's ministries happening on campus during the morning. We've got Wednesday night, Sunday night for middle school, high school. And next week, we're going to be starting up our Adult Sunday Seminar in person in the adult portables at 10:15 and 11:15, as well as on Zoom at 10:15. I'm even starting the men's Bible study on Saturday morning with a hybrid approach. So it's great to be moving forward. There's lots of opportunities. We actually have small groups that meet on campus. Some of them want to add some people. So if you're getting more comfortable, if you've been vaccinated, you're thinking, I think it's about time to start coming back to church, we have things available to do here, and we're just excited about doing that. The The last thing I'll tell you before we get started here is we're going to have a virtual Zoom prayer meeting next Sunday at 3 o'clock, and it's an opportunity to learn a little bit more about the ways people are praying at the church. A lot of what has happened has been on Zoom the last several months because of just the realities of how it is to gather. So we have four or five different ways people have been praying, and it's been the same people for quite a while because they're the ones who know the Zoom links. So next week at 3 o'clock, we're going to have each of those people share a little bit more about what that's about, as well as pray for things like Easter that are coming up. And it's an opportunity to get more engaged in prayer on a regular basis. Great things to do. As we think about our mission as a church, we have several missionaries our church supports. And I want to show you one. This is Darren Sweeney, who works with Hope 61.
Today, we're going to spotlight Darren Sweeney. Darren is with One Mission Society and a group within that organization that's called Hope 61.
Well, thank you so much, SCC, for just being a part of our journey and being a part of Hope 61. It comes from Isaiah 61, which talks about being anointed to set the captives free. And what we do is we work in human trafficking prevention by use of evangelism and discipleship.
What part of the world is it most prevalent in now?
It is something that even before I started to learn about it, you know, I felt like slavery, you know, had kind of ended. And I know there were things that happened, you know, kind of one-off stories. But as I started to learn more and I realized that there's actually more people in bondage today than all of history put together. I've heard conservative estimates of over 20 million to over 40 million people in bondage right now.
Incredible.
Well, in our trainings, the first part is talking about what human trafficking is, the different types that there are, kind of how people oftentimes kind of get into human trafficking. And then it goes into why the church needs to do something about it. We talk about the importance of, you know, if we believe that Jesus saved us, then we need to go out and do what we can in the lives of people that are vulnerable.
You're dealing with people in despair, but you're giving them the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. That is just amazing. We really applaud what you do, and we wish you the best. Thank you, Lord, for Hope 61. It's just amazing what goes on around the world, and they're right in the middle of it, dealing with it, trying to make a difference through a hope in Jesus Christ. Thank you for Darren and his family and all that they do. And please go before them in thy holy and precious name. Amen.
Today, the topic is called invitational living. And there is no one who demonstrated this better than Jesus. So watch this.
John was standing there with his disciples when he saw Jesus walking by.
There's the Lamb of God.
The two disciples heard him say this and went with Jesus.
What are you looking for?
Where do you live? Rabbi,
come and see.
So they went with him and saw where he lived and spent the rest of that day with him. One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. At once he found his brother Simon.
We have found the Messiah.
Then he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him.
Your name is Simon, son of John. But you will be called Cephas.
This is the same as Peter and means a rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip. and said to him,
"Come with me."
Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Peter lived. Philip found Nathanael.
"We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the book of the law, and whom the prophets also wrote about. He is Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth."
"Can anything good come from Nazareth?"
"Come and see."
You ever wonder why Jesus had such an effect on people? What had God been preparing in the lives of these disciples that caused them to respond with such excitement? In fact, why does the topic of God or who Jesus is stir up such strong emotions? What did they have to give up to follow Jesus? I want to invite you today to wonder, to stir our imaginations, to make new discoveries about ourselves, to come closer to God. Because that's what people who were exposed to Jesus experienced themselves. John, who was baptizing people, was surely wondering himself when he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when two disciples heard him say this, they followed him. Now, right before this, John had seen the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on Jesus. He said, "He's the one who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit, and I have seen and testify that this is God's chosen one." So John had seen something in Jesus, and it was enough that he turned down his own self-interest. He released his own followers to go and spend time with him. And as we think about this film portrayal we just saw, look at what Jesus did. He turned around and he saw them following and he asked, "What do you want?" Now, this is the first in a line of many, many questions that are recorded in the Gospels. If you count them all, Jesus asked 307 questions. He was asked some questions too. Only 183, almost half that amount. And he directly answered only 8 of them. Most of the time, Jesus turned the question around back at the person who'd asked it. He did this to better understand that person, to show he was listening, to open up more dialogue and reflection, to see what the person believed, and often to invite them to discover more. So the main thing we learn about this very short passage is that Jesus noticed and he focused on the people that came into his attention. That's because noticing leads to caring. It's one of the most vital skills that Jesus can teach us. And Jesus did this often in the stories of the Gospels. One of the most famous ones is in Matthew, where he was out in the villages and he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Invitational living first starts with seeing and stopping and then looking for ways to help. But Jesus not only did that, he went further. And he involved his disciples and asked them to pray about being part of the solution. So as we think about this lesson he gives us, I want to tell you something very practical that has changed my life. And that is a daily prayer. "Lord, as I interact with others today, help me to see them as you do." Because each of us interact with people every single day. Whether it's our family, whether it's friends, in the community. Maybe it's on Zoom. However you're interacting, are you looking at them with Jesus' eyes? I want to tell you a story about my daughter Amber. She is a junior who just went to Central in January, and we sent her off ready to settle in and start a new experience. Now, for 2 months, she had not found a church. And in the past, she was over in Edmonds and had a peripheral experience with the church there, but nothing really deep. So I was a little concerned as a parent about that, kind of like she was a sheep without a shepherd, if you can imagine. Well, to my delight, a month ago, she called and said, "Dad, I found a great church." So I said, "Well, tell me about that. How did that happen?" She hasn't been too successful so far. So she said, "Well, I signed up for some clubs, and one of them was a Christian club. And then this girl, Maggie, she started inviting me to this church called Resonate, and I became part of a village." A village. What's a village? Well, she go, "Well, we get together with 10 or 12 of the college students, and we have social, and we have fun nights for the girls get together, and we do all kinds of different things, and then we go to church once a week." Now, first thing I did is I went on the internet, and I looked up Resonate to find out if it was some kind of a weird thing, you know, trying to check it out. So as I'm looking it up, I find out, nope, it's a Baptist thing with a cool name, and they have villages. She found her community. Here's my daughter, 2 years on the periphery. Her parents have been praying for some workers to reach out. And here is Maggie, who looked out for her. The lesson of the harvest. And best of all, it was Amber who came and said, when she knew what I was talking about this Sunday, who said, "Dad, this is so good, you have to tell people." Because invitational living is powerful. It's a very simple, low-pressure thing to do, and we leave the results to God. You don't need any experience except your experience with Jesus. I love Psalm 34. "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Years ago, I was on a mission trip in the Middle East, and we decided to call it the Taste and See Tour. Because what we were doing was going around in the community that we were part of and just making friends, meeting people, trying to show them what Jesus' love was about by starting conversations. And it was a little, intimidating because we were in a Muslim country. Well, I found some young guys there and somehow got invited into a home, hospitality culture, and they started trying to convert me to Islam. Well, I started trying to explain to them about Jesus as well, and it was an amazing conversation. It was so rich. I'll never forget it. And one of the best parts of that short time was near the end, after so many conversations and so much challenge, I gave one of the young men a Bible, and I've never seen him since. I've never had any contact, but I continue to pray for him. And I remember his name. It's Emmer. I just have this feeling, someday I'm going to see him again in heaven. And we're going to have a conversation about his experience after that. Now understand, it was a brief time. It's something, I don't know what the end result was. But sometimes with God, it's just one day. Sometimes it's just one invite at the right time that makes all the difference in the world. And this is what Jesus was doing in this passage. He said, "Come and you will see." And they spent that day with him. Do you ever wonder what happened in that initial encounter? because the scripture is pretty brief. It says, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, Andrew has a few other mentions in the Gospels, and we know this one thing about him. He's a curious guy. He's also a possibility thinker. Because the other time in the Gospels that describes what Andrew did, it was the feeding of the 5,000. And his other friends were there saying, Jesus, what are we going to do? There's all these people and no one to feed them. And it was Andrew who said, I wonder how far these fish will go among so many. So it's obvious that Andrew would run and invite his brother Simon to come and see. What if he kept it to himself? What if he'd never gone and invited Peter to the party? What would have happened? But he didn't. And Jesus looked at him intently and said, you are Simon, son of John, and you will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter, the rock. His name was changed from Simon, which means hearing, to Peter, which is rocky. Peter got a new name that fit his personality. We know the scripture in Matthew 16. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want to remind you of something so powerful in this verse. We are in a time in our culture where we feel like evil is closing in. So many are concerned about things that are happening. And when Jesus talks about building his church, he talks about the gates of hell. Gates do not advance on us. Gates are designed to keep people out. What he's saying here is that the kingdom is advancing past the gates and into the worst places and into the things that are challenging to us and difficult. The kingdom is advancing, and the church is part of it. We're empowered to do it together. And we keep that in mind when we're talking about invitational living. We are given a supernatural courage from God to go into the hardest places or the places that are uncomfortable, because the gates of hell will not prevail against what God is doing. Think about Philip. Now, Philip was an adventurous guy. He went to someone named Nathanael who resisted Jesus. The first words out of Nathanael's mouth were, can any good come out of Nazareth? He was a skeptic. But he was not afraid. Philip was not afraid. So after he was told to come, Jesus said to Nathanael, surely, truly, you are an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Now Nathanael would go on to say, how do you know me? And he declared Jesus to be the Son of God, the King of Israel. After just deriding him from being some nobody from Nazareth. Now, why did this happen? Well, you think, well, Jesus was special. Part of it was the way he treated people. And part of it was who he was. Now, we are Christians. And we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. So we can also be the kind of people others notice and wonder about, but hopefully in a good way. First Peter, it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give you a reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Show the love of God to others. Over the course of this year, I've spent time helping people to start these kinds of conversations. We did a class in the fall called God Space. And one of the great quotes from that, Doug Pollock, who led that course, he said, "Divine dialogue happens when we keep the spotlight on others and what they want to talk about, because meaningful conversations happen when we accept where people are in relation to God." Last week, I was listening to a training conference on the future of the church, listening to what was working during COVID, because a lot went wrong this year with the church. A lot of people shut down their churches, and people were scattered. And they said the things that went right were when people prayed, began working with their friends and neighbors, asking questions, helping people in need, and then they saw people come to Jesus. They saw people counseling those who were dealing with suicide. They saw chain reactions in neighborhoods because of people individually and with groups just reaching out, thinking of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. One of the other speakers on the conference I heard was the director of Alpha, which is a ministry we do every single year. We've been doing it for the last 14 years. It's a way to start conversations with Jesus. So when he came on, I wanted to really hear what happened when all these Alpha courses shut down this year and nobody came together and ate food and spent time together. And he said, "It's been an amazing year for Alpha. Over 500,000 people in the United States have done Alpha online. And what we found is that the number one quality people are looking for is someone who listens without judgment, who start conversations." He said, "We were totally surprised. We used to think that it was best just to get people together, have food, and talk through questions about Jesus over the course of many weeks. And we found with COVID and starting to do Alpha online," and this is a survey that was done, 40% of the people who might not otherwise come to a course like Alpha wanted to do it online. And 1/3 of the people that they asked felt less judged in a digital conversation form. They felt more comfortable. It was easier. It was more convenient. So that a whole new ministry opened up because of COVID, as well as the online ministry, which we know works really well. I want to share with you some stories from our own Alpha this past April, because we as well were surprised with how open people were. We've tried to invite people before to the in-person course, and we've had little bits here and there. But this year was especially dramatic because people were so comfortable in learning about Jesus. And I want to share this with you. Thanks for coming on this. We're trying to learn a little bit more about your experience when we did Alpha this year. I know you invited some family members to be part of it. So how was that? What happened?
It just popped into my head that it would be fantastic to have my family involved. And so my wife, of course, Tracy, and our adult son, Jacob, who's in college. And then of all people, my mother and father-in-law. And it was my first experience with Alpha too. And I have heard so many awesome things. I really felt like God placed it on my heart to reach out to my family, and my wife and I chatted. And it just seemed like the right thing to do to invite, especially our in-laws. They were raised Catholic. We thought, well, let's give it a whirl here. They've had, you know, Christian teachings their whole life, but just from a different aspect. And it was really seamless. And the end result, Rick, was awesome.
You're in the same room, in the same breakout room, discussing these things. Did you guys have any extra conversations around this after?
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. You know, my mother and father-in-law, it was very common for us to spend the next hour to 2 hours talking as a family. And just some, and all of it, some of it, you know, a little controversial because of the difference in the way we've approached faith throughout the years, but all of it good. Like all of it ended with the Holy Spirit absolutely leading us to great discoveries about God and Jesus and just in general how we need to live our lives.
Now, did you find that having a film to watch or something to engage with and then having questions afterwards was easy?
The way that it's presented, it's applicable to all folks, right? Whether people are of a Catholic faith or an evangelical denomination or of no faith at all, of course, it's non-offensive, but it's welcoming, right? And so it created, like you asked about earlier, it created fantastic family conversations that we're still having today. I don't have any magical qualities to encourage people to do things. It's not necessarily my strong suit, but I do like to just dive into things. And part of that was, inviting my family and actually other friends too, which some of them didn't take advantage of it this time around or that last time around, but I'm gonna invite them again this time. And my experience with my family really provides me with more information now to encourage other folks, because it was just such a great experience.
I kind of tend to do a lot of classes and I kind of hound mom to join classes with me, like, come on, do this, So she actually did join Alpha, and I have found that now she's super connected. Like she found a small group that way and is super connected still with the people that she did Alpha with.
How was the experience of Alpha for you with the conversations, the questions, that kind of environment?
It was really interesting for me. I really loved the sessions and it helped me to open up more and to search more. That was a really interesting bunch of sessions for me, and it made me want to look into things more.
Great.
The Holy Spirit came over her.
I guess you could put it that way, yeah. It was so eye and heart opening to me. I think it's such a good way to get people involved and keep them to want to learn more and move forward more.
I find it easier to ask questions that maybe one would be uncomfortable asking in a larger setting, or asking someone that they really don't know at all, like a perfect stranger. So it helps you bond into a friendship where you're more comfortable asking those questions that you would find as hard questions to ask. They're easy to ask in that smaller setting.
And Angela, I know you also invited your adult children, right?
I did. They were in another state, actually. So they lived in Alabama at the time and they came briefly. They were not able to continue because they were on a different time zone and Alpha was during the time that they were putting their kids to bed, and it just didn't work out for them to continue, but they really enjoyed the sessions that they were able to come to.
So what are you going to do now?
I have someone in mind. There's a particular customer that comes into my store, and we had a conversation last night. I kind of had a feeling that she was Christian, and we were talking last night, and she just really opened up to me about how she prays and how she talks to Jesus and how he talks to her. And she doesn't go to Squim Community, but she asked me where I went to church and how I do studies. And I told her, and she said, "Wow, that sounds really cool." I didn't say anything to her right away, but as soon as I know when the classes are going to start again, I'm talking to her about it, because she would be really interested and she'd really get into it. I know she would.
Yeah, I have more people that I plan on inviting this time. And I'm hoping, since my kids live here now, that they'll be able to, even one at a time, join the classes again. Because I know they were really interested.
We've also had opportunities to see people engage in some of our Bible studies, friends of friends. And it's been a great surprise this year to watch that happen. And here's a story from my friend Gary.
I'm way down here in Sacramento, California. I haven't had the opportunity to be part of the fellowship up there in Washington, but I had the great opportunity to have a friend of mine, Joe Walsh, to invite me to be part of the men's fellowship Bible study on Saturday mornings. What an influence it's been. Even though I can't personally be there, I've had the opportunity to meet so many men, be influenced by what they have to say, be strengthened in my faith in Christ. I think Zoom's become the best, one of the best formats for invitation for worship of the Lord that we can find, short of personal attendance. So anyway, I'm happy to be part of it. We've been doing it for now about 6 months, and it's been good for my life. Thank Jesus.
Invitational living is powerful. And noticing leads to caring, leads to engagement. So as I finish today, I want to leave you with a very, very practical challenge, something to pray about, to come to the Lord every day with for a while, and ask, is there anybody I could bring to our Alpha course? And to make it even easier, we have renamed it this spring for people who have no idea what Alpha is, and we're calling it Basic Beliefs. Come up with a new logo. We are going to use the same kind of format we've used in the past, which was a 9-week film series, as well as interactive teaching with our pastors. We're going to have two different ways to do Alpha this year, Basic Beliefs. One is going to be online on Wednesday nights, and one is going to be in person with dinner in April. We are trusting God for good things in both kinds of formats. And as a wonderful application, instead of just saying, just go out the door today and continue to share about Jesus, let's do this together as a church. Because when the church is working together, the gates of hell can't prevail against it. The struggles we face, we're going to be praying this month. We have 4 weeks till it starts. We're going to be praying for opportunities to say, Lord, put people in our minds that we might invite, that we might bring along to come and see Jesus. This is the real thing. And I have been thinking about this for months. I know it's challenging. I know it's uncomfortable. But there are people in our lives, there are people in each one of your lives that I as a pastor or Scott will never, ever reach, because it's your job to go and find them. And maybe you'll bring a Peter to Jesus. I am excited about our church. We have a great future. And the Lord is giving us things to do which are going to grow and enrich his kingdom. Will you be part of it with us? So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this example from the Gospels of person after person. When they encountered Jesus, they felt like sharing it. And Lord, I pray that you would grow that kind of enthusiasm in our own lives, that we would overflow with joy at the thought of introducing someone to the Jesus we know and love. Lord, thank you that you're a part of this. Thank you that you're inspiring us right now, that your Holy Spirit lives within us, to make us the kind of people that others will wonder about and who will take notice. So thank you again, and Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall.
but you have never filled me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hand, this is my confidence, you've never failed me yet. Oh, you never failed. I know the night won't last, your word will come to pass, my heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough, keep me within your love, my heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence, you've never failed me yet. You never failed, Sky. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move the mountains, and I I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. We'll see you do it again. Promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence, you've never failed me yet.
As you go today, just remember, Jesus is going to work through you and in you. He's got special people picked out for you to impact with your life, with your unique story, with your unique experiences. So step out in faith. His promise stands. He's faithful, and he's going to use each of us in very particular and eternal ways. So go forth in faith. Amen.